From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project.
Live from the NPR studios at Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan, this is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News, news, information, and the dog show. I'm Allison Stewart.
Hey, I'm Rachel Martin. It's Tuesday, February 12th, 2008. It is primary day in the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia.
But we're not allowed to actually talk about that per our news rules.
Right.
Because you don't want to have any influence on anyone who might be going to the polls. So we don't really cover candidates on primary days, which is understandable. Which is why we covered the dog show instead.
Exactly.
Another contest full of... Well, I won't even say it. But you know, I love the dog show. I have been a big fan of the dog show here at Bryant Park. It's 10 blocks away. It's one of the most fantastic events ever. My friends and I usually go every year. I don't know, because of constraints this year with sleep schedules and things, if I'll get to go. But it is honestly
a great joy. What is so fun about
this?
Because I think, I mean, I guess Best in Show, there's some funny people, but I don't know if I would invest like hours of my life in
that. The dedication of the dogs and the owners. Mm-hmm. Some of the dogs are really beautiful. Some mm-hmm. of them are just darn cute. And just the whole ceremony and the characters, and you become invested in whether the Clumber Hound is going to make it or not.
Do you pick your favorite?
Yeah, we always root for the Clumber Hound because it never wins. And they have the announcers always try to make descriptions of the dog, like frisky and frolicky. The Clumber Hound is kind of slow and not the brightest. So every year they try to think of a different way. Last year it was slow and deliberate, the Clumber Hound.
Slow and deliberate.
So anyway, we visited the dog show earlier, so we have a little bit of tape to bring you from that
and
event.
The beagle won.
The beagle won his class. He won his breed. He could be the big winner. We'll find out more.
Also on this hour, the BPP, a Boston blogger who's using Google Maps to document violent crimes in the Boston area. We're going to talk to him about why he's doing it and the reaction he's getting from his readers.
And some lovely music for your Tuesday morning. The band White Hinterland stopped by the BPP studios. They played some music from their upcoming CD. Very interesting. Fronted by a young woman named Casey Dinell. She's classically trained, yet she has a sort of ethereal sense about her. We'll meet her and meet the rest of the band and the music.
Cool. Also, somewhere beneath the sea are these huge cables that carry digital signals. Now, you might have thought, like I did, that everything was kind of done remotely, satellites, wireless technology. Mm-mm. No, your email, some of them, still go through these huge cables under the sea, and these cables break a lot. And you need, like, cable guys to fix it.
Cable guy.
We're going to talk to someone who knows all about this, what happens when they break and how they get fixed. We will also get to today's headlines in just a minute. But first, here is the BPP's big story. Millions of addicts around the country were left scrambling for their fix yesterday when BlackBerry service was interrupted for about 3 hours.
Oh, my, get out of the way, please. It's falling on the morning fast, and all the folks would say that this is terrible. This is the worst of the worst catastrophe that the world, all the humanity, and all.
Well, it wasn't that bad. But the outage did affect these particular wireless email devices across the U.S. and Canada from about 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time yesterday. There are 12 million BlackBerry users worldwide, about 8 million of them in the affected area. Some users reported no service problems. Others, no service at all. It's the second widespread disruption in less than a year.
Research in Motion, the Canadian company that makes BlackBerries, says the problem affected BlackBerries on all different cell phone networks, actually, and they still don't know what caused the problem. The company issued an apology and says that all text and email messages were eventually delivered.
News junkies at NPR were hit hard by the outage. We received an all-staff email yesterday advising us of the problem, to which one wise guy replied all. Does anyone see the humor in sending an email telling you your BlackBerry is dead?
NPR. Nothing like some good public radio humor in the midst of a crisis. Of course, the outage wasn't funny to folks who are, well, a little too attached to their devices. A 2006 Rutgers University study said that some BlackBerry users should be weaned off the devices like drug addicts.
Look at this. Millions of North Americans were forced to speak to the person sitting across from them, stem their tempers, and not send that inappropriate reply all, and find something to do with their thumbs for 3 hours. The good news for these folks and for the majority of people who use BlackBerry's power wisely, service appears to be back to normal. That's the BPP's big story. Now let's get some of today's news headlines.